2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. Let me read them for you again. For this reason, make every effort to add virtue to your faith, and to your virtue knowledge, and to your knowledge self-control, and to your self-control patient endurance, and to your patient endurance godliness, and to your godliness brotherly kindness, and to your brotherly kindness love. For if these things reside in you and abound, they ensure that you will neither be useless nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the one who lacks these things is blind and short-sighted, because he has forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, diligently make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly provided for you. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. We're looking at this section of chapter 1 of 2 Peter, and we are seeing how we grow, how we advance in our faith, in growing in these Christian virtues. And I want to encourage you again today to seek to abound, strive to abound in Christian virtue, in this holy life. And we want to see in this text today, particularly verses 8 through 11, three things that we should do in striving after this advancing, this growing Christian life. Peter lays out these equations for these two different types of life. And as we have made our way through this passage, we see that both of these lives are lives of people who have been granted faith, those who believe. Yet one is fruitful, the other is unfruitful. The one is useful, the other is useless when it comes to the kingdom. Because we want to ask, how would we come to this point? How would we reach this point where we are fruitless and useless, where the faith that we have been given is not doing us or anyone else any good? Well, to lay out quickly here, that the key issue then is starts with forgetting. Forgetting. And in forgetting, particularly all the sins that we have been forgiven, we become blind and short-sighted. And then in doing so, we really lack the virtues that Christ calls us to here. So then we say, well, then what should we do? Well, we should remember. We should remember. And we should seek to see and maintain perspective then in this life. And that way, build virtue. First, we need to remember. We need to remember our past, not in a wallowing way, but in a way in which we see, I have been forgiven of much sin. I have been forgiven of great rebellion against my God. We can easily forget that we have been forgiven all of our past sins. 1 Corinthians 6, the Apostle Paul lists some pretty nasty stuff. And then he says, and such were some of you. But you were washed. You were sanctified. We can forget that our sins are not being held against us any longer because of Christ. We can also forget that we were saved by faith. For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. And yet it seems over time we can forget that we don't deserve to have what we have. We can forget that it wasn't our wisdom that brought us to salvation. It was the wisdom of God that brought us to salvation. We can forget that our works are a fruit of the righteousness we have in Christ. That our works are not somehow a righteousness that then requires God to redeem us. We can forget, and we need to remember. What's it look like in a life that forgets? Well, it can be returning to those former sins. That's some of what Paul was doing in 1 Corinthians, right? You've been forgiven of these sins. That's what you were. Don't go back. Don't go back to that nasty way of living. Stay the path of righteousness. But I think there's another way, too, that we can live as we forget. And that's what Peter is addressing here, I believe. That is the distorting of the new life. And we can easily say that the Christian life is all about Jesus. It's all about Him. And so what would the distorting of the Christian life look like? Well, it would look like making it all about me. All about me. And distorting these virtues and distorting the message of the gospel and distorting our life of faith in such a way that we forget who we were, where we are, and how we got from there to here. So secondly, there's a posture that we need to take. We need to remember our past, but now there's a new posture, and that is one of opening our eyes and maintaining eternal perspective. Peter says, but the one who lacks these things is blind and short-sighted because he has forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. So if our forgetting leads us to blindness, to not seeing, and to short-sightedness, only being able to see what's right in front of us, this life, and not the eternal, then our remembering should lead us to eyes that are wide open to our sin, to grace and redemption, to all that God has given us, and maintains an eternal perspective in all that happens in this life. Remember that we said these virtues are added through those points of friction in this life. The way we grow in these things is by being reminded through events that we don't naturally have these things. And so the trials of life bring us to understand the grace of Jesus Christ and the way that He is working and all that He is giving us as He is sanctifying us in this life. And so we keep our eyes open so that we understand that this gift of faith And we add to that virtue, and we add to that knowledge of Jesus Christ, and we add to that self-control, and we add to that patient endurance, and we add to that godliness, and we add to that brotherly kindness, and we add to that love. But what happens, brothers and sisters, when we forget is that faith turns into simply a belief in ourselves, in my ability to be holy, and my ability to be accepted before God. And we add to that our understanding of virtue, which becomes merely external appearance of some kind of holy life. And we begin to substitute knowledge of Christ with knowledge about Christ. I love theology. I love systematics. I love historical theology. I love thinking in that way. But if it doesn't penetrate my heart, if it simply becomes knowledge about the things of righteousness and not knowledge of righteousness itself, it does me no good. The same is true for you, brothers and sisters. You can read and read and read, and you can read all the Puritans, and you can read all of the historic works, and you can know all about this stuff and completely mishandle it in such a way that shows you are spiritually blind. Instead of self-control, we begin to dwell on our superiority in others, in what we do and don't do. Patient endurance becomes a false martyrdom, because every struggle becomes something that is brought on because I am so righteous and the world is so against someone as righteous as me. Our brotherly kindness is overrun by favoritism for those who are just like me, rather than all of my brothers and sisters in the church. And in the end, love, it becomes something that we are completely incapable of, apart from loving ourselves. This is what happens when we begin to turn a blind eye, a turn of phrase that touches on what this text is getting at, choosing not to see all that we are apart from Christ and all that we are in Christ. When we begin to lose that eternal perspective that builds on that faith we've been given, that pursues true holiness, true virtue, true knowledge of Christ, actual biblical, spirit-empowered self-control, patient endurance in conflict and strife and times of trouble, a godliness that is a true reflection of the character of our Heavenly Father and our elder brother, Jesus Christ. A brotherly kindness that spills over to those brothers and sisters whom we know we would not be friends with unless we were family with them. And therefore, even able to love those in the fallen, broken world around us that compels us to take the gospel to them, to serve them with the love of Christ, to break out of me and serve other. Let us keep our eyes open to the truth. Let us not lose eternal perspective, that each moment of every day is an opportunity to see that moment in the light of eternity. And what is Christ seeking to do in me to change me to be more like him in the difficulty or the dire straits or even the gloriousness of this moment? How am I being conformed to the image of Christ? So we're to remember our past. We're to take on this posture that keeps our eyes open and maintains an eternal perspective. And then thirdly, there is a practice that we must maintain, and that is diligently practicing the Christian virtues. Peter goes on, "Therefore, brothers, diligently make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be abundantly provided for you." Diligently practice these virtues. And what happens when we do? Well, we make our effectual calling and our divine election sure. Not for God. It's already sure with God. But remember, these are mysterious things. We don't know what God knows. We don't know why God has chosen those whom he has chosen. And we definitely don't know who he has chosen. That is why our call is to all the world, to preach the gospel to everyone without qualification. No, it's sure on God's part. In Acts 13:48, we read about these Gentiles who heard the gospel and they were very glad. And all who were ordained to eternal life were saved on that day. Now That's the melding of those two realities. That God had ordained some to salvation, and those who were ordained joyfully chose Christ and to love him and to follow after him all of their days. And we have that promise, that great promise of Romans 8 and verse 30. "And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified." This is why we preach the gospel with confidence, because we know that God will fulfill his promises. Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself." All who are ordained to eternal life will come joyfully, choosing him, loving him, worshiping him, following after him. So our calling and election are made sure. We grow in confidence in them in our lives and experience because we see this holiness and this growth in virtue coming about that we know could never be done on our own. And so we become confident and grow in that assurance of what Christ has done. And then what else happens? Peter puts it in a beautiful way. "For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be abundantly provided for you." For the growing Christian, there's no sneaking over the wall or just being kind of scooted into the heavenly gate. There is a grand, triumphal entrance to the one who has advanced from strength to strength, who's grown from grace to grace, who's added virtue to virtue, according to the Apostle Peter. All of this rooted in this faith already given. In Ephesians 1, the Apostle Paul reminds us that we were chosen to be holy in Jesus. He chose us to be holy. There was purpose there. It is not just a salvation for the sake of salvation. It is a salvation for the sake of holiness. For being prepared to be in His presence forever. And we begin to taste that week by week, Sunday by Sunday, as we come into His presence, as we worship Him, as He gathers here with us, as we begin to taste that eternal holiness today. And so we diligently practice these Christian virtues rooted in, you remember we talked up in the section before about these means of grace, these ways that God teaches us and exposes to us all that He has done for us in Jesus Christ through the Word, through baptism and the Lord's Supper, and through prayer. As we practice those disciplines, we are able to practice the Christian virtues that are added to us as those things take root in us and grow. By faith, brothers and sisters, keep striving to abound in Christian virtue. Remember all that you've been forgiven. Keep your eyes open and maintain an eternal perspective. And diligently, daily, practice the Christian virtues, growing, advancing, until we reach that day when we are entered into, ushered into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us stand and pray. Heavenly Father, what a glorious truth for us. That because of the faith that we have been given, we can grow, we can advance in the godly life, which is such a blessing, and that it ends in your presence. Help us, Lord, to be diligent in paying attention to how we grow and walking in that way so that we advance from strength to strength, we grow from grace to grace, that we add virtue upon virtue in our lives. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Church, let's pray together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen.